I would like this morning, my friends, to bring a message in preparation for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day. This would be a pre-communion sermon. And our text is taken from that beautiful passage from Genesis chapter 24, which Elder Dibert has just read to us. And I'm using the Revised Standard Version translation of the verse, which reads in this way. Then food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. I will not eat until I have told my errand. As Elder Dibert has already said, this chapter contains one of the great love stories of the Bible. Abraham, in obedience to God's command, had left his homeland and kindred years before, traveling westward on a journey of more than 600 miles, not knowing where he was being sent, but believing that God was leading him to a land of promise and of blessing. But now, Abraham is an old man. His beloved wife, Sarah, is dead. And his one desire is to see his son, Isaac, happily married to the right girl. So he summons his most trusted servant, Eliezer, and says, Eliezer, I don't want Isaac to marry one of these local Canaanite girls who worship their heathen gods. I want you to make a journey on my behalf, the most important mission of your life. I want you to go back to my homeland and to my own people, and there find the right wife for Isaac. What a wise desire for a concerned father. What a tragedy for any Christian to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. For a Christian to disobey the will of God and marry someone who does not share his faith is a catastrophe of the first magnitude. Young people, let me tell you something. Never settle for a life partner who does not love the Lord as much as you do. So we see Eliezer one bright starlit night setting forth on his master's business. You know, of course, that long journeys across the inhospitable desert were usually undertaken at night to avoid the burning heat of the day. So Eliezer, with a retinue of helpers and 10 camels heavily laden, would take perhaps 15 to 20 nights to reach his destination in Mesopotamia, which is, of course, the modern Iraq. But as they neared their journey's end, they would travel by daylight so as not to miss their final rendezvous. And so it was that they came to the very spot to which God had led them. The soft light of a mid-eastern sunset falls gently on the fertile grazing land watered by the broad Euphrates River. And as its gleam lights up the landscape with its villages and flocks of sheep, the caravan finally reaches the walled town of Nahor. Eliezer knows that this is where Abraham's relatives live. And as he bade the camels kneel down by the well outside the town, he offered up an urgent, silent prayer. Oh Lord, he prayed, help me to carry out my master's commission with success. Grant, Lord, that when the village girls come out to draw water from the well, that the one I ask to give me water may also volunteer to draw water for our camels also. So will I know that she is the girl whom you have chosen to be the wife of my master's son. And we remember how Eliezer's fervent prayer was so splendidly and so speedily answered. For when the girls came out with their water jars on their shoulders, Eliezer asked a charming, friendly girl named Rebecca if she would kindly give them some water to drink. When she had graciously supplied their needs, she said, I'm sure with a smile, now let me give water to your camels also. And in that moment, Eliezer knew that his quest was ended. This was the girl. A short time later, seated in her father's home, Eliezer discovered to his added delight that Rebecca was actually a granddaughter of Abraham's brother. Food was set before him, but so determined was he to accomplish his mission that he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. Wasn't that something? I will not eat until I have told my errand. How these words come to life as you prepare to come to the table of the Lord next Lord's Day morning. I will not eat until I have told my errand. You will come next Lord's Day morning as invited guests to the feast prepared by our Savior. It will be prepared for His glory and for your spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. But before you partake of the meal, you will have a prior errand to perform. What is it? I believe it is a threefold errand. In the first place, my friends, you will come here to confess your sins. You will come to confess your sins. That's the first part of your errand. I know that during this coming week, you will seek to prepare yourself to partake worthily of the Holy Supper. I know that you do not desire to eat and drink in an unworthy manner and so be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. I know that you will seek during this week to set right anything in your life that is sinful and grieving to Christ. And yet, as you will sit in the presence of those sacred elements of bread and wine, the silent testimony to the dying and undying love of Jesus, you will cry out instinctively, I am not worthy, gracious Lord, so much as to gather up the crumbs from under your table. With Isaiah, you will exclaim, Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And in the presence of the pristine purity of Christ, we know that even our holiest thoughts are impure and need to be washed in the blood of Jesus. But let us remember, as the old hymn says, that the only fitness he requireth is to feel our need of him. Come then to the holy table, not in the pride or self-satisfaction of self-righteousness. Come humbly, come penitently, come with love in your heart, trusting only in his merit who died for you, and you will be accepted and you will be blessed. Dr. John Duncan, Rabbi Duncan, as he was affectionately named by his students, was professor of Hebrew at the University of Edinburgh many, many years ago. When I was studying in Edinburgh, his name was a legend at the theological college. He was so wonderfully remembered. He was a saintly man. And one Lord's Day morning, it was the communion season in a little Highland kirk in Scotland. And Dr. Duncan was in the congregation, but he had decided not to participate in the communion. So personally unworthy did he feel himself to be. And then, as the elements were passed, he noticed a young girl, a short distance from him, burst into tears as the bread reached her, and she passed it on untouched. And suddenly, a truth dawned on Dr. Duncan that he had almost forgotten. And in a whisper which carried around the church, he exclaimed, "Take it, lassie, take it. It's meant for sinners." And then he himself partook. Yes, my dear friends, it's meant for sinners who know that they are sinners and who, confessing their sins, repent and trust and love the Christ who died for them. Praise God for such a Savior. Yes, the first part of your errand next Lord's Day will be to come here to confess your sins. Then secondly, you will come here next Lord's Day to express your gratitude. To express your gratitude. That will be the second part of your errand. I hope we never take our eternal salvation for granted. I hope that we are never so joyful at receiving the gift that we forget to thank the giver. The Eucharist is one of the most beautiful names for the Lord's Supper. It comes from the Greek word Eucharistia, which means thankfulness or gratitude. And every time we come to the Lord's table, the thought uppermost in our mind and heart should be, thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me and for opening to me the gates of paradise. You remember how saddened Jesus was one day when he healed 10 men of leprosy, but only one of them came back to say thank you. No doubt the other 9 went high-tailing it and shouting, "I'm healed! I'm healed!" But they had never a word for the healer. Supposing years ago, 3 of our astronauts, returning from their moon mission, had shot past the point of re-entry into Earth's orbit. With the complete failure of their backup systems, they would go hurtling off into the endless expanses of space, farther and ever farther away from Mother Earth. Nothing could save them. Their spacecraft would become their tomb. And as that awful truth would dawn upon them, they would look at each other and exclaim, "This is it. We are doomed." It is that kind of panic that would seize me by the throat if I didn't have Jesus. And I think that you would quail with fear too if you had to face eternity without him. How grateful then should we be? In the 11th chapter of 1 Chronicles, there is a gripping story about King David. On one occasion, David was fighting the Philistines near the town of Bethlehem. And one evening, 3 of his warriors overheard the king exclaim, "Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." I'm sure it was a well from which David had drunk often, and he loved the sweetness of the water. And without a moment's hesitation, those 3 gallant men went out, made their way through the heart of the enemy lines, got water from the Bethlehem well, and returning the way they had come, came gladly to the king with their treasure, gained at such peril to their own lives. Great-hearted David was deeply moved by such an act of fearless devotion. Do you know what he said? He said, "I'm not worthy of such a noble deed. I will not drink the lifeblood of these men who have brought this water at the risk of their lives." And he poured the water out on the ground as an offering to the Lord. Oh, that we might exhibit such gratitude to him who brought to us the water of life, not at the risk of his life, but at the cost of his life. Praise be to Jesus. He did it for me. He did it for me, a sinner as guilty as ever could be. Oh, how I love him now that I see he suffered, he died. He did it for me. Indeed, he did. And then thirdly, next Lord's Day, you will come here to proclaim your faith. To proclaim your faith. That will be the third part of your errand. You will gather around the holy table to affirm that you stake your eternal destiny upon what one man accomplished when he died on a cross 2,000 years ago. This man claimed that he was God Almighty who had visited our planet in order to save people from the penalty of their sins, to give them life more abundant here on earth, and to take them to heaven at last if they believed in him. C.S. Lewis has outlined the alternatives very bluntly but very correctly. In essence, Lewis has said, was Jesus Christ a madman? A megalomaniac who really believed he was God, even though he wasn't? Or was he a rogue who knew that he was not what he claimed to be, but tried to delude credulous souls into believing in his monstrous claims? Was he the great imposter? Or was he in fact who he claimed to be, God Almighty in human form? These, my friends, are the only three alternatives. Jesus Christ was either a madman, a rogue, or God Almighty. And after studying the gospel records for more than 50 years, I could more easily believe that the moon is made of green cheese than I could believe that Jesus Christ is either a madman or a rogue. And when you reverently partake of those symbols of his broken body and shed blood, you will proclaim your faith for all the world to hear. You will be saying, in fact, we know that Jesus Christ is precisely who he claims to be, God, Savior, Lord, and final judge of all mankind. His cross is the hinge uniting two eternities. We find the meaning of our life in his life, in his death, in his resurrection, and in the promise of his coming again. For he said, with absolute clear-cut clarity, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ has told me where I came from, why I am here, and where I am going at the last when I die. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. Indeed I do, and I hope you do too. I will not eat until I have told my errand. What will be your errand next Lord's Day morning? It will be to confess your sins, to express your gratitude, and to proclaim your faith. And if in those hallowed moments you do that in adoring devotion, then your Lord will surely nourish you with the bread of God and the royal wine of heaven, and you will rise from the table to return to the daily round and the common task with renewed strength and courage to face victoriously whatever may befall you on the pilgrimage of life. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift in Christ Jesus our Lord. I will not eat until I have told my errand.